Okay. All right, hello, and welcome to Stasis Pod, the Rescue Bots Academy podcast. I'm Rob.
I'm Jen.
And I'm David.
All right, and today we are continuing our episode double bill by episode double bill journey through Rescue Bots Academy, and we are nearing the end.
Oh, we're getting there. We're getting through it then. We will have completed it. It'll be like putting the last figure of a set that you've been trying to put together. It'll be like putting the last limb on a combiner.
Ooh.
To be like, we have.
Still waiting on that
This
swindle.
is the thing we have finished, and it is
Yes.
complete now. Not that I want to get it over with,
No.
just that
It'll be
it will
nice
have
to have it
been
done.
a thing that
In
we
the sense of
have
accomplishment.
accomplished. Yes.
All right,
Another
so.
thing I can mark off my list.
Yes. So this is. We're starting off with episode 91 of the series, episode 39 of season 2. Enter the Flood. I think that means they're going to fight those aliens from Halo.
Yeah, something like
Hey,
that.
you know a video game thing.
I know very few, but that is one of
I
them.
was going to make that joke. I had to look up with like, okay, I know I've heard of the Flood. What game were they from? Oh, Halo. That's why I don't know anything about them.
That's why you only know the vaguest amount of cultural osmosis about that.
That's true.
Yeah, I think they're zombies, question
I think
mark?
sort of-ish. I have no idea.
Yeah, I'm not really a Halo person.
I know that you got like the Master Chief. There's like a sexy hologram lady, and then he fights the Flood, and that's about it.
Yeah. And there's like Ringworlds or something.
I guess that's the titular Halo.
Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
This was penned by Ben Ward, last seen in these parts, writing Things That Go Bot in the Night. And we open with Perceptor playing telescope and not microscope.
I guess he's a
I mean,
macroscope?
that is a thing he can do, because that's
Yeah,
we see him doing that in like the movie.
Yeah, and he did that
Yeah.
in he's done that before. This is not a
Yes.
completely unheard of ability of his. Which does make me question though, like, can he just like adjust the nature of his lenses? I have some questions there, but
He's just got a lot of lenses in there.
maybe he does.
My question is, why are they doing astronomy day for night? Why are they doing this in the daytime?
That is a good question. I guess his telescope is just that good.
Yeah, I
And
mean, maybe
they don't want to
that's
encourage.
sure.
I mean, presumably, if he already picked out what planet they're going to look at, then it's going to depend on what direction the Earth is facing to view that one particular planet.
Hotshot, world, hoist, medics, and ledge. Their teamwork together will give them the edge. Rescue Bots Academy. Over the rescue.
So we are looking through we are looking at the Horsehead Nebula, which I believe has come up on this series before. I think they
Yeah, I
were.
think it was mentioned.
I think we talked about it. I forget why.
Now I want to look that up.
Apparently, they were looking at it on the in the holodeck in the episode where they found the abandoned city bot.
Ah, okay.
Oh.
The Titan. Man, that was fun.
Yes. So he also notes that there's some he's never there he's also getting some unusual audio readings because even though it's the Horsehead Nebula, he hears sheep.
It sounds like sheep. Why does this nebula sound like sheep? Well, it doesn't. That's the sheep.
Yes, because they're out in the field and Hotshot did not close the gate.
Hot shots. Womp, womp, womp.
With sheep, you don't have to, like, sheep will get through fences and things. They find a way. They're like, a few times I woke up to cows in my yard because of sheep. Because the cows weren't the ones opening the fence or getting through the fence. It was the sheep, and the cows followed them but the cows wander further away, which ended up in my front yard.
Cows were just like, oh, hey, this fence has a hole in it.
Yeah.
Thanks, sheep. My perceptor reminds me that it's very important to leave things the way you found them.
Leave no trace.
That's right. That's also a big precept of hiking, as Jen would know very well.
I do. That is something that they like to talk about a lot in the park system. Also, what about kill only Tim? That meme sign. Yeah.
Your days are numbered, Tim.
Well, like, it's Perceptor starts out with a line. It's like, wherever you go is like, my brain just finishes, there you are. And it's like, no, I don't. Wait, oh, actually, that might be a good movie to do for Patreon sometime. Yeah.
Laugh while you can, monkey boy.
That's right. It says, take only photos, leave only footprints, kill only Tim. Please stay on the trails.
Of course, my favorite Park Service quote is the guy talking about how the difficulty they had designing bear-proof garbage containers.
Yeah.
And he said that the intelligence of the smartest bear overlaps greatly with the intelligence of the stupidest tourists.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. That's can confirm.
So this trip out to do a little stargazing is just a precursor. They're actually going to the planet Saffrolicus 5.
Sure.
Yeah, I wrote Saffron, and it's like I couldn't be bothered to write the rest of the name.
I'm just mad about Saffrolicus 5, and she's just mad about me. But in fact, this planet is not yellow, mellow, or otherwise.
It starts out yellow, and then it turns blue.
It's sometimes orange, and sometimes blue.
Yeah.
They're calling it the planet of the Michael Bays.
No! It's always sunset. 24/7 That's right. Golden hour.
24 hours of magic hours.
Yep.
I do like the start of that. It feels like the start of like a short story.
Everyone's always sweaty. Everyone all women have great abs. So they head out to this planet in the Sigma, and they make first contact with life, and it's I don't know how you describe this, kind of like a big hairless capybara, sort of, or like if a walrus had legs.
It's so friend shaped.
Yes, it's a more friend-shaped hippo. Instead of being all mouth, they have little mouth, and the eyes are in the front.
Yes.
Yes, it is very much friend-shaped.
Yes. They got little legs that they go about on, and they're just potatoes, and they got, like, yeah, it's like a hippo head, but much smaller, because hippos are actually terrifying and will murder you in a heartbeat.
Yes.
Yeah, they're extremely friend-shaped.
Yes. And much like Marge Simpson potatoes, Hoist just thinks they're neat.
He does.
In fact, and because he's for the first one to discover them, he's named them, and they're called Mudlubbers.
Yes.
Which, you know, I mean, that good name, I look at that thing and I say, yeah, that's a Mudlubber.
Oh, man. Okay, good. I was going to say, it took a second for the pictures to load on TFWiki. It's like, don't tell me the TFWiki doesn't have pictures of these, because they're amazing. Yeah, you can go to the TFWiki and look them up, and they're so good. They're just little chunky boys.
And unfortunately, because they're so good, they're in trouble, because they find out why the planet is always changing color. It's because there is a tidal wave that is constantly traveling around the planet. I'm not a scientist, so I'm not sure how plausible this is, but it's kind of cool.
I mean, presumably, if you have the right conditions, I assume the conditions would have to... I am also not a scientist, but I think it seems plausible under the right conditions, having to do with, like, gravitational pulls and that mm-hmm. sort of thing.
Yeah, you might need a moon or three dragging the water
around. There's some weird moon stuff going on.
Yeah, here. You definitely need some kind of moon stuff going on.
Much like the stuff seen in the classic film Moonfall.
Yes! the moon! It's fallen! It's coming! It's coming for us all! It's gonna get us!
It's coming for step-parents everywhere.
Yes!
Everyone else we've spared, step-parents, it's over. Sorry,
gotta sacrifice yourself for the main character's kid. That's just how it works. It's what you're there for.
Anyway, so our child protagonists see this, and they think that, you know, these potato-like, docile mud grazers are doomed once this tidal wave hits them. And A, we're very much violating the Prime Directive here.
Yes. Yeah, that seems like something someone should have explained to them.
Yeah. And also, they're forgetting that, you know, they live on this planet.
Yeah, like, they evolved here, Hotshot. You're not only messing with the Prime Directive, you're messing with nature.
Yeah.
That's right.
In that they are used to the Flood.
This is very much the dozens and dozens of Facebook posts every year from people saying, oh, there's a fawn in my yard and it's just laying there and not doing anything and I'm concerned. And it's like, no, you have been chosen to be the babysitter. This is working as intended.
Yeah, wait a day. Your yard is safe and undangerous.
Just
check back tomorrow.
Just leave it alone. Don't bother it. Definitely don't kidnap it.
Mm.
This is nature. This is not even like in the bad way. It's just, this is what they do. They leave the baby by itself so they don't attract attention and it's fine. So yes, it's kind of like that. It's like,
yes.
Clearly they are going to be able to manage this somehow. I was thinking they might just like float like corks.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Like,
yeah, because
like maybe the reason roughly. They were so potato shaped was so that they would float better during the wet times. Yeah. But no, it's even better than that. I mean, them bobbing around like little corks would be pretty great, but also
yes,
yeah. I was thinking floating or burrowing.
Or I don't know. You know, maybe they open up gills. Who knows?
Yeah, they don't know. They're just kids.
Yeah. So instead, they build this like giant mud shelter. And, you know, this is a pretty impressive mud construction here that they've made.
Yeah, it's not bad.
It does indeed hold up to this tidal wave, but unfortunately they have forgotten a mud lubber who gets swept away in the deluge.
They are all just like this moment. It's like they can't look and are holding each other and it's the music swells and it's all tragic. And, but no, little buddy's fine.
No, much like a Transformer, there is more to the mudlubbers than meets the eye.
Indeed.
As it immediately grows a neck, wings, and considerably less stubby legs, and turns into a sort of, like, little dragon-looking thing.
Well, yeah.
It
caterpillared to butterfly by just, like, extending out parts of it, like it had pulled everything in.
Yeah. So now, you know, they see that this is how they've evolved, bizarrely. I wonder if this is like a one-way thing, or if, like, as soon as the tidal wave goes away, they go back to being potatoes.
That is a good question.
It is a good question. It mentions that, you know, they mentioned that, oh, this is part of their life cycle. But, mm-hmm. like, is this a permanent part of their life cycle, or is this just, like, a stage?
Yeah, this
It would make more sense if it's a stage, because, well, I guess they were big enough, they were waiting in the water. Maybe that is the stage. You get where the water is going to be, and then you become a flying version. Or it does make more sense, like this is a cyclical thing. Every day, half the day they're a potato, the other half of the day they're flying.
I guess this is the potat long teen evolution here.
Yes. They go from potat to long teens.
So now they have to bust down this this mud wall that they've stupidly built, but because they are rescue bots, they're good at construction, not so good at the destruction.
Oh no! Hoist does get into his dino mode, and does his best. Yeah,
luckily, he is a dinosaur, so he can bust down this wall.
He's good at smashing.
Yes. So that lets the mudlubbers transform into their new forms. And the Perceptor says, hey, you guys didn't totally blow it. Congratulations.
Yay, good job, kiddos. Their
flying form gets dubbed Skylubbers.
Skylubbers, of course.
And Hotshot gets to ride off with them in hovercraft mode.
Yes.
Also, everyone should have listened to medics.
Yep.
Yeah, we haven't seen the hovercraft in a while. I think the last time we saw the hovercraft was the one episode where he had to transform into all the modes to save them on a Will Derek or something.
Yeah.
Which was the beginning of the season, I guess?
That sounds about right. All right, and that does it for that episode. Now it's time to move on to episode 92, episode 40 of the season. First aired April 24th, 2021, and written by the puppeteer duo of Kieran Morrison and Mick O'Hara.
Yay!
Last seen in these parts writing Bot Blog.
That was fun.
Yes. And now it is time to adventure into the wilds of the public domain.
Yeah.
For Wizard of Bots.
We are going fully, like, how far into the past? Like, 90 years into our cultural history?
Well, I guess even further than that if you count the book.
Yeah. But I was... Then again, I mean, something like Dracula is even further into our cultural history, so...
This is true.
It's just one of those, like... Dracula. It's just one of those, like, do kids even understand this reference things? But I guess this is where kids get their culture from.
Also, I feel like you're still showing The Wizard of Oz to kids.
Yeah, it comes back every once in a while. There's been a few variations of it. I think there was like a TV movie or some shit, like in the 90s.
I mean, I was watching it as a kid when it was, you know, already 60 years old.
Yeah, I was taken to see it in a theater when I was like eight or something. It's part of some like group kid thing.
Although, you know, I don't believe my mother has ever seen it the whole way through. She, she saw it when she was a kid and then got like a particularly scary scene with the Wicked Witch and then departed and has yet to complete the film.
Oh.
Well, that sounds like
those creepy trees.
You need to fix that.
I didn't realize how old the book is from 1900.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. It's like Victorian.
I thought it was like the 20s or something.
Well, that's when they started making movies of it. Yeah, like because they made like silent movies of it.
Hmm.
Well, I mean, it's old enough that Margaret Hamilton, who played the witch, it was her favorite book when she was a little girl.
Oh.
And I guess, you know, I guess her agent called her up and said, well, you know, listen, Margaret, we've got a part for you. It's in the Wizard of Oz. She's like, oh boy, that's one of my favorite books since I was a child. Who will I be playing? Is it the witch? The witch? Wait, who else?
That's when you are reminded that you are old.
I mean, I don't think it was necessarily that she was necessarily so old. It was just that she had a sort of witchy appearance.
Yeah, that's fair.
I think she was actually younger than the actress who played Glinda.
Huh.
So, you know,
when was the anime adaptation?
There was definitely an anime adaptation that was, I think, dubbed in Canada because it was narrated by noted Canadian Margot Kidder.
Ooh.
Yeah, I think there was two animated versions. I'm just trying to figure which one it was.
And then there was like an animated version from the 90s that was like a series, and I think it was maybe made by Deke or somebody.
I don't know if I remember that. I say as though I have a flawless encyclopedic knowledge of every animated thing.
Well,
from
also, you might have been a little old for it at the time, whereas I was younger.
Yeah, but I was watching things that were cartoons. But, I mean, I guess I wasn't watching like little kid cartoons. Like, there's a difference between watching Exo Squad and watching David the Gnome.
Yes.
So fair.
Oh, international. 82 was the one I was thinking of.
Okay. I think that was dubbed in Canada.
Nope. That's what I said. There's multiple ones.
Oh, okay. Wait, this was definitely an anime. And like one of my like first exposures to anime.
What the fuck? I don't know. Problem is, there's too many adaptations, is the thing.
Yes.
I remember seeing it on, I think, HBO.
Mm. Anyway, so
we're just confusing it with the animated adaptation of Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe.
Ooh. Anyway, so we are, the students are starting to get their performance reviews from Optimus Prime. You know, everybody's, pretty happy with theirs, but Whirl, she hasn't got hers yet. And she's kind of putting it off. Because she thinks that, she's going to get a bad review.
She's like, eventually I have to get a bad review. So if I just don't get a review, then that time will never come.
It's like how if I don't go to the doctor, I'm not really sick.
Exactly. It is a lot like that.
Listen, if I never go to therapy, I can never quantify what's wrong with me, and therefore I'm fine.
Yeah, and therefore you're actually totally fine.
Exactly. Unfortunately, this is all happening whilst we are attempting to save cows in a very sepia-toned farmland from a tornado.
I like that. I realize this is a simulation and not an actual cow, but I do like one of the simulated cows just is like, oh, hey, a tornado, and just walks right towards it.
Yeah.
Like, no!
And my old brain was just waiting for the twister gag.
Yes.
The flying cow.
No, they weren't going to do that.
Well, that doesn't happen, but... World does indeed end up right in the suck zone. Yes. And then when she wakes, she's in a magical wonderland.
With Technicolor.
And because this is only 10 minutes, we don't really get into a lot of the goofier odd stuff that I kind of miss.
Yeah, I mean, they could have gone further, but like, the start of it other than, there's many colored trees and there's a yellow brick road... And then we get Ratatosker in a tree, as voiced by Ratchet.
Yeah,
there's just a squirrel that's talking to her, which,
We do acknowledge that this just sounds like Ratchet, because at first she thinks it's Ratchet, and then she's like, oh, no, this is a squirrel.
But, like, was there a squirrel anywhere in the Wizard of Oz books?
There are way more of those books than you think there are.
There's so many of them.
So it's entirely possible.
I know, there's a shitload. There's like 20 of the damn things at least.
And there are definitely a lot of talking animals. I would not be shocked at all if there's a talking squirrel.
Yeah, it's just that like a weird mischievous talking squirrel. It's like, well, that's just Ratatosker. What is he doing here?
Causing problems.
Easing back on some of this stuff so we don't get sued by whoever has the MGM library these days.
Is it Amazon?
I think Amazon doesn't have their movies past a certain point.
Ah.
So I think old stuff is somebody else.
But starting with the squirrel made me think, this is going to be an even weirder version where like it just visually looks like it's Oz, but it's something different. It's not quite that. It's although in a way it's even less of an Oz reference to get altogether.
Yeah, so the squirrel says, if you go to the academy, you'll have to face your performance review. Instead, you could follow the Yellow Tech Road.
Which, good name.
Sure.
Mm. And which was, I believe, intended by Frank Baum as like a metaphor for the gold standard or something?
Yeah, that sounds about like the kind of thing that Wizard of Oz actually was about.
And then, pretty soon as she goes along, she does encounter her pals. Hotshot, it seems stupider than normal.
Yeah, I mean, it is kind of like...
isn't that hard, but...
Like, characterized... What am I thinking of?
I mean, I guess he's like, he has no brain, so he's supposed to be the Scarecrow. And then
Hoist is true, he has no brain.
And then Hoist is fixing things in a junkyard, so I guess he's, like, the Tin Man.
Yeah, well, him as the Tin Man is the only, like, really obvious one.
Well,
like,
also, he said that the critique from his performance review was that he tries to fix too many things at once.
Well, yes.
Yeah.
Instead of focusing.
Yeah, they're all just exaggerations of one line of dialogue that Optimus Prime referred to them as. Which is kind of fun.
And unfortunately, we are not dealing with, like, your veteran voice actors who will generally jump at the opportunity to do, like, a Ray Bolger impression.
Yeah, they're just being themselves, and they look like themselves. Like,
so, you know, nobody's telling somebody to put them up. A hippopotamus, I'll wreck them from top to bottomus.
I would have liked, Hoist being oiled or something, and
exactly.
Somebody have a fur collar. Just a little bit.
And then medics and witches kind of show up, and we don't really have time to deal with what their whole deal is, because the episode's only 10 minutes.
Yes.
And also, of course, no musical numbers.
Hmm.
I feel that the original Rescue Bots would have had a musical number in here.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Yeah, I agree.
Oh, wow. This would have been way better as a regular Rescue Bots episode. One, it would have been longer. Two, they would have gone over the top.
Well, also, there were fewer of them, so you could have the sort of structure of, you know, Dorothy and her three pals, and I guess, you know, somebody might have to be Toto.
Hmm. Well, they have a dog.
Well, that's true. Yeah, so anyway, they eventually get to this castle, which is, and they kind of do the bit with the, you know, nobody gets into here, no way, no how.
Hmm.
I have seen The Wizard of Oz a lot of times.
I haven't seen it in decades. I guess I saw it at least 6 times, probably, as a kid.
Well, it was like a, pretty much an annual thing around here.
Yeah, I haven't seen it in a while.
Yeah. Worth a watch again. Fun, you know.
I mean, I'd rather recommend just watch The Wiz instead.
I mean, that's fine, but...
It's fun.
I've actually never seen The Wiz.
Well...
Ooh, watch it. And it's the Wheelers that... Well, you're too old now, presumably, to get nightmares from those guys.
Well, you mean... Oh, you're going to Return to Oz.
I should... Wait. Yeah, The Wiz is the one that's the like...
Yeah, The Wiz is like the musical one. Like,
I know Diana it's the musical. Ross I just
the Motown is... musical.
I thought The Wheelers were in that one.
No. The Wheelers are in Return to Oz, which is the terrifying one, because it's also got that, and that lady without the head.
No, you're thinking of the Jacksons, who... Actually, I don't know if they're in The Wiz or not, but it seems like they probably were.
I mean, Michael Jackson is.
Yeah, okay, so watch The Wiz and then Return to Oz and mix them up together in your brain.
Oh, yeah, man. No, Return to Oz is... Those Wheelers are freaky.
I need to watch that. I have not ever seen that one. Good.
Ooh, yeah, it's a real... You know, it's kind of a kid's movie, but also too terrifying for a kid's movie because we're subjecting...
Which makes it a great kid's movie?
We're subjecting Dorothy to electroshock therapy.
Is this like how I was totally watching Time Bandits as a child?
Ooh, it is. It does have a very Time Bandits kind of feel.
Yeah, it's got that sort of, like, mid-80s, we've just discovered PG-13 and we're messing around with stuff kind of rating.
Yeah.
Cool.
Anyway, the Wizard of Bots turns out to be the giant holographic head of Heatwave.
Which, I am glad they at least kept that. He's a big green glowing head.
Yes. And so but he's pretty agreeable, and he lets them use the ground bridge, and then it turns out that he's actually Tough Luck Chuck. Behind a curtain.
Which, again, which is pretty great.
Yes.
We don't actually get to hear Chuck say anything. We just only hear Heatwave's giant booming synth voice.
I don't think it's Heatwave's voice. I think it's Chuck's voice just coming from a Heatwave hologram.
Boy, you know what you shouldn't watch? That Wizard of Oz with like James Franco.
Wait a sec.
Oh, his no.
It was like a prequel.
What?
Sam Raimi directed it.
Just go watch Wicked, I guess.
It's what is that one? I can't remember. I saw that in the theater. I can't remember what it's called. It's got Yeah, James Franco is the Wizard of Oz. What's her name from Blue Valentine is Glinda. Williams.
I do remember that being a thing that happened. And people were
and
like...
And then Rachel Weisz and Mila Kunis are the Wicked Witches? It's not good.
Yeesh. Yeah, I don't want to watch that.
Yeah. I mean, you probably shouldn't watch stuff with James Franco in it for the most part these days.
No.
Anyway.
I should watch The Disaster Artist, though.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
It's a shame I haven't watched that yet.
Yeah, of course, you know, Spider-Man every Thanksgiving.
Yes.
Anyway, so Tough Luck Chuck ends up collapsing this castle around himself and destroying the ground bridge, but... You know, the squirrel turns up and tells World that, you could have gone home anytime you wanted because there's no place like the Academy.
Also, the squirrel declares that he's Professor Squirrel now.
Yes.
He got a certificate on the internet.
Mm-hmm.
Which and I indeed, enjoyed because it's ridiculous.
Yes. And indeed, of course, the whole thing was a dream and you were there and you were there and you were there. Oh, Hotshot, I'll miss you least of all.
Poor Hotshot.
Anyway, Optimus drops by and he's like, hey, you want your performance review now in front of all these people? What if it's really bad?
He knows it's not, though.
I know, that's weird. And he's like, listen, I'm going to say really nice things. Maybe you don't want to be around Hotshot. You'll make him feel bad.
That's fair.
I spent most of... Spoilers, his included the word dunder.
I am back. Cats, like, there was fighting.
No. Babies.
Well, they two of them did get shots yesterday, so I guess they're overly excited today after being tired yesterday.
Poor kiddos.
But no, it turns out...
I think it's the one that didn't get a shot that started the fight.
Yeah, he's like, hey, look at me. I'm so great. You guys got shots and I didn't. I mean, that means I'm special.
Yeah. Now I'm going to cause problems.
Anywho.
So it turns out that her performance review is great, but she just needs to stop overthinking things so much.
Yeah. Yes. Womp womp. I mean, I guess that's not too womp womp. That's just a lesson was learned.
Yes. All right. So, you know, it's a fun couple episodes.
Yeah.
You know, the Wizard of Oz was fun. I feel they could have done more with it, but they really were stretched for time. But I really like the episode with the meat lovers.
They're so friend-shaped. Seriously, go look them up on TF Wiki. They're just so round. They're so potent.
Even though they jump to the conclusion that we have to save these animals from their own natural habitat, was a little odd, but like it's the story. So.
Well, you know, they're children. They're not that smart.
And they're used to saving things from danger. So they see something that seems that they interpret as a danger. And their first instinct is not to take the time to evaluate whether it's actually a danger. But their first instinct is to act, which is normally a good.
And when all you have is a hammer, everything looks like a nail.
It's like that.
All right, so that will do it for us for this week. But of course, we'll be back next week with more exciting Rescue Bots action. Until then, you can find us all over the internet. We are on Blue Sky. We are on Facebook. We are on Mastodon. And we have a Patreon.
Yes, we are hosted on iconunderground.net, where we have a Patreon set up to help with hosting and other expenses. For as little as a dollar a month over on patreon.com/iconunderground, you get access to our monthly specials where we always do some random fun thing that we want to talk about. For August, we went over to the good old internet archive to dig up the one surviving episode of an 80s music cartoon called Wolf Rock TV, where Wolfman Jack got to pretend to be Spooky Guy. And
we got it going on now.
Yeah, it was fun. I mean, I can see, again, it got tangled up in the same licensing stuff that Kid Video did, but definitely was the kind of thing I was watching when I was like 7 and 8 years old. For September, have we decided yet? I don't believe we have. There was talk about a Mighty Ducks episode in honor of...
We are talking about that.
The late Tim Curry.
That's right.
We have always been doing lots of Peter Cullen stuff, so...
Yes.
And we will definitely return to more Peter Cullen stuff.
We did just do Dungeons & Dragons.
We did, and that, like, everyone in it except for the main characters is, including also some of the main characters, is either Frank Welker or Peter Cullen. Just, like, that's everybody. And we did an episode of Mighty Max a couple years ago for Halloween, so that also had Tim Curry in it. And actually, like, most of the actors in that are gone now, except, like, Rob Paulsen... And you said Skullmaster's henchman, who is always
Warmonger, who's Frank Welker.
Yes. So, yeah, that's because Richard Mall is gone, and Tony Jay is gone.
Yeah.
And, yeah, that was a good show. That was a real good show. But that is also on Internet Archive. See, it's not all just, like... Super clever piracy. The secret is just Internet Archive. Archive.org. It's right there.
Yeah, hopefully it gets cleaned up for MeTV Tunes or something sometime.
That would be nice. Yeah, that was... I think it's just, again, the kind of rights thing. Then again, there was, like, the whole second season of Exo Squad... was just gone, except for possibly people's VHS rips, for decades. And then NBC decided to start a streaming service and needed some stuff to put on it. And so now here you go. Here's season two of Exo Squad. Like, cool. So yeah, maybe somebody will dig it up to pad out a streaming service someday. A lot of stuff is showing up on Apple TV on, like, the iTunes.
Ooh.
Like, that's got all of Space Ghost Coast to Coast now, which you can just purchase. I mean, it's a digital purchase, so it's not as good as a physical purchase, but they do go on good sale sometimes. There's that, there's the Max, some other stuff that you might have assumed was just lost to time. You might want to check iTunes for it, especially Warner Brothers seems to be putting a lot of their stuff out there. So yeah, we will figure out something fun for September. It will probably involve Tim Curry, but we will see. Inspiration might strike in the next week or two.
All right. So until next time, when we finally return to a beloved Rescue Bot supporting character and meet an all new Dinobot. I'm Rob.
I'm Jen.
There's more Dinobots? Well, I guess we've only seen three so far, so that does narrow it down. Or does it? I'm David.
Okay.
All right. That was a good episode, Link.